This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
James Hamm here with us. Hammer. We will dramatically switch topics from underpaid UFC fighters and Dana White finally being 10 years late to something everybody else adapted. We'll get back to the Sacramento Kings and a conversation we were having, Hammer, as we got started, is should all of the Kings games be on pay-per-view? No, that's not true, Jim. We were talking about Malik and... You know, there's the Russell Westbrook stuff out there, the Malik trade rumors, and like, why such a dramatic change in the last year? Is this this is a thing Kenny and I were kind of going back and forth on. Is this about the amount of money Malik makes? Is this his fit with the team? Is this Scott Perry just not feeling the type of player Malik Monk is?
I think it could be all three of those things. To be honest with you, like it's difficult to see how the Kings can get better by just moving on from Malik. Malik Monk is one of the best six men in the league. He's absolutely a dynamic player that makes your team better. And, you know, he's one of those guys that lives on the edge who is mistake prone, but really not that bad. And, you know, you think that he's going to make more mistakes than he does. I think some of the things that he doesn't do is he's not a phenomenal defender. You could use a little bit more passing, although I do think that given a bigger role, he probably would do just fine. But when you look at his contract and you look at Scott Perry is the new voice of the Sacramento Kings, he's the guy who's going out there and making moves. There aren't a lot of ways to make moves that can make you better. And one of the easiest pathways to do that is to use a player like Malik, who should at least have, you know, equal value to his contract on the open market. And the problem that I think Malik is in is that, you know, for the Kings, he's kind of a luxury item at this point. Mm. Like he's a really, really good player, but he's a really good player on a good team. And is one of those players that helps a good team become a great team and puts you over the hump. You know, guys like Lou Williams were this way. Jamal Crawford were this way. But here in Sacramento, you know, they pushed the envelope. He was a big deciding force behind the scenes to try to get into the starting lineup. That didn't work out well. And now you're left with a player who is on a contract that, you know, the Kings could realistically find someone else for a league minimum that could at least replace a portion of what Malik Monk brings to the table. And maybe they can address some of the other holes in the roster. So I don't know how we got here so quickly, but I certainly think it's a bunch of reasons why we are where we are. And I don't think any one of them is just like the sole reason. But, you know, again, that, we also went through a season where a guy who had just led you basically to the playoffs one year and to 46 wins the next year, got fired 25 games into the season or whatever it was. So things change quickly in the NBA.
I know you kind of broke that down beautifully, but do you think it's as simple as if Malik was making $8 million a year as opposed to 18, we wouldn't even be having this situation, this conversation?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, even if he was on the 2-year $20 million deal or $19 million deal that he signed initially. But again, don't, like, we also have to look at this roster and say, how do you get better? How do you find the length and athleticism that all of the good teams have at the wings? And part of that is to use whatever, you know, assets you have outside of, you know, taking really, really high risks with your draft picks, you know, going out the door. So, again, I don't think the Kings get better by trading Malik Monk and replacing him with Russell Westbrook. And, you know, we talked about this earlier, me and Kyle on the Insiders. There's this other thing that you don't really consider, and that's that not only is Russell Westbrook a bad three-point shooter, but he doesn't shoot enough. And Malik Monk, while he didn't have a great three-point shooting year last year, shot 32.5%. You know, I think Westbrook shot 32.3%, so they're in line with each other. But the difference is Malik shot 6.5 threes a game, and Westbrook shot like 3.9. Like, the Kings don't have enough three-point shooters. It's why Doug McDermott got a guaranteed contract. You know, like, they don't have enough three-point shooters, and I'm confused. Not only is it about the percentage, it's about the volume. And if you want to be a team that's playing modern NBA basketball and shooting 40 to 50 threes a game, you need shooters. You need people who not only can hit them, but that take them. And all of a sudden, you're looking at a starting lineup that has Domantas Sabonis, DeMar DeRozan, Dennis Schroeder. Like, those guys, they shoot like 11 threes or 10 threes per game combined. Like, how are you going to get to this magical number when the players that you have don't shoot the ball? And I think it puts an awkward amount of stress on guys like Zach LaVine, Keon Ellis, and Keegan Murray. But after that, who else is going to hoist here? Like, you're not expecting Drew Eubanks to take a bunch of threes off the bench. Neat Clifford, even in his best years in college, was still under 4 threes a game. So how are you going to get these opportunities? And I think it's one of the reasons why we keep looking at this roster and going, I don't get it.
Well, maybe you need to adjust your game plan if you don't have shooters, if you don't have players who can implement that type of strategy. Like, I don't understand the value in setting a number of threes to shoot. Like, run your offense, play in the flow of the game, and if it results in the three-point shot and you got guys confident enough to take them, then great. But if you don't have a roster built for that, why would you build a game plan around that?
Well, because that's a modern NBA. I mean, you can get away with shooting, you know, maybe 35 threes a game, but if you're just in pure shots per game, coming up 10, 15 three-pointers short of what your opponent is doing, and on those shots, you know, they're hitting, let's just say, 40%. Man, that's a lot of points you're leaving on the board. That's a lot of points that you don't have a way to make up. And so it's not as simple as oh, well, let's just run a different scheme where nobody's shooting threes. That doesn't exist in the NBA anymore. I mean, the last time we really saw that was San Antonio, like 8 years ago, when it was LaMarcus, Aldridge, right? And DeMar DeRozan. That's the last time we saw a team that just shot mid-range jump shots. Teams just don't do that anymore. So it's really difficult to keep up when, you know, a three-point shot is 1.2 points per possession, and you're taking twos every time, and those twos can, you know, might range from, you know, 0.8 to 1.2 points per possession, but you're falling behind all the time. Like, you have to keep up with the Joneses at least a little bit.
I do enjoy, like, that you mentioned DeMar in San Antonio. Everyone is really quick to point out Chicago West and DeMar in Chicago, forgetting completely Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, DeMar DeRozan wasn't incredible in Toronto, and that team regularly wasn't the best in the East on numerous occasions. Ran into potentially the greatest player of all time a couple of times, but still, incredible in Toronto. But no, it's Chicago West. That's it. That's it.
James, another, if this wasn't the case, maybe things would be different question for you. If Devin Carter wasn't here, would we be having this conversation about Malik Monk and Westbrook having to choose between the two?
No, I don't think Devin Carter is considered with any roster move that you make right now. I don't. I mean, I think that you're moving forward with the understanding that you might have something there on the bench, but you're not making any judgments on what he is. I mean, we know he's not a one, and that's really difficult. Like, if he's your third point guard, okay, that's fine. But I mean, I think all of us watched Summer League and thought, Nate Clifford looks like a more natural point guard than what you're seeing from Devin Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe that's not fair, but that's a reality. Like, if the guy can't play the position, he can't play the position. And that means if he's a shooting guard and you already have, you know, again, Schroeder and either Westbrook or Monk, but on top of that, you have LaVine and you have Keon Ellis. Sure, there might be some room for play if there's injuries, but there's also a possibility that there's not any. And I think we all think Nate Clifford can slide into the backcourt and play the two with no problem at like 6'5 and a half, 6'6. I just think that there's not a clear, concise like path to rotational minutes for Devin Carter, which is part of the reason why the Kings have made him available multiple times, it feels like, over the last 6 months.
Is there a resolution? Like, if Malik winds up not getting traded, is there a resolution to this that will work for everybody? Like, if it's purely about finances and money and things like that, is it easy, like, hey, Malik, this kind of just the nature of the game. We were just having conversations, but we're ready to move forward with you, things like that. Or is this just something that's going to be lingering around if the season starts until February?
Well, I mean, I think it could be both again. Like, I think it initially you just like let bygones be bygones and you go play basketball and you hope that it all works out. But I also think that, you know, you revisit this if the right player becomes available. You know, Malik is in a weird position because while we can talk about like value for position in Sacramento, that might not be the case in other places. So as far as a six man, yeah, is he paid a lot? Yes, he's paid a lot. He's the second most expensive six man in the league behind Naz Reid's big deal. So that again becomes like a luxury piece if you're the Kings. But like, look, there are going to be big deals that happen this season, just like there are every year. And, you know, maybe it's possible that you're able to trade a Zach LaVine mid season. Maybe it's possible you're able to trade a DeMar DeRozan mid season, but you also have to look at that $18 million contract to Malik Monk and say, hey, look, you know, can we move this thing to 2026, not 2027, this build? And you know, moving off of his final year of his contract is one of the ways that you can do that. And so I kind of look at Malik, you know, again, is he fully a Kuminga situation like Golden State where he's just like a $20 million trade chip sitting there? I don't think of him in that light, but I do think that if we get into the season, it'll be very similar to what we saw from Kevin Huerter and Harrison Barnes over the last like 3 years where their names are mentioned all the time as potential trade chips to fill out the roster in a different way for Sacramento.
Okay. I don't know how, like, the Kings I don't know. Like, I don't know how you address this situation with Malik Monk. I you know, the idea of just moving on, like, without Devin Carter a part of this, it feels like it's just becomes guys eating up roster spots when you need guys to be able to play roles. Like, you don't have the four backup, the Keegan backup. You probably want to move Keegan to the three. It's where the Jonathan Kuminga thing comes into play. and it just winds up being a it winds up being a mess where kind of roster spots are just taken up by guys that you can't necessarily use because you have better guys in that position. And this is the one part, James, where when people get down on this team and think that they could potentially be bad this season, like significantly worse than I do, these are the things that I think come into play. The roster balance and the what would ultimately turn into a lack of depth, because you might have depth at one position but not at another. And then the idea of forcing guys to play or asking guys to play out of their natural position just becomes a – we're just piecing this thing together at this point.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I'll add this too. Like, adding Jonathan Kuminga fixes a couple of things. It gives you, again, the opportunity to move Keegan to the three. It gives you more length. It gives you more athleticism. But let's not act like this is a perfect player for the Kings system. Again, we're talking about a guy who had 3.2 three-point attempts per game last year and shot 30.5%. Like, that's not good enough. And so if you're taking DeMar DeRozan out of the starting lineup, who has very similar numbers to that, and you're putting in Jonathan Kuminga, it just doesn't change the dynamic. I mean, you have length and athleticism, but it doesn't change the dynamic of the three-point shooting issue. You're still going to go into every game with three guys who either don't shoot threes or aren't good at it, or a combination of both. And so, yeah, it's an issue. And I'd say the same thing if you're going to move off of, you know, Malik Monk and bring in Westbrook. That's not a solution to the three-point issue. That actually compounds it even worse. Now you'll have two point guards that, you know, average a combined like 6 or 7 three-point attempts and also shoot in the low 30s. It's just, you know, again, the ideas here, I think, to play hard and to have a system to rely on and all that stuff, they're going to be there, but you still have to have some basics. You know, I'm not making up some number saying you got to shoot 40 or 50 threes a game. Doug Christie's the one who said he wants 50 threes a game, and he would settle for 40, but he's the one who said that. And so when you're looking at the way that this team is going to have to play, he doesn't have the horses to play the offense that realistically he wants to play, unless, like, heaven forbid, you run Doug McDermott out there for 18 minutes a night and say, we need 10 threes a game, man. You got to hoist. But like, you, between him and Keegan and Levine and Keon Ellis, who can't get enough threes, even though he's one of the best shooters in the league. That's it. Like, where are you going to go past?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with AllTrails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I guess
this is where I just don't understand. If I've pulled these numbers correctly, I believe the Kings shot 35.23 pointers per game last year. Mm-hmm. Boston led the league with 47.2. Mm-hmm. Chicago was second. The Chicago Bulls at 42 threes per game. The Chicago Bulls lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, right? No. Oh, where did the Chicago Bulls lose in the playoffs? It doesn't matter. Like Utah shot 39.8. The Utah Jazz. Are we focused on the wrong thing right now? Because volume doesn't mean efficiency.
No, I also think you shoot a lot of threes when you don't have the talent to create your own shot. That's what the Kings did when we talked about earlier when Malik Monk went out a couple years ago. They didn't have, the only way you could shoot shots is because of threes. You didn't have anybody that could create their own shot. So I think that's when you get a higher volume of threes in certain respects.
And that was spreading the floor with Malik Monk's injury. Like, there was no one there to do it. They're like, oh, this dude's by himself. Oh, we're going to destroy five. Because no one else can do what he does because Malik's gone. Right. And two of their three-point shooters are gone because Kevin Huerter's out. Hell, Kevin Huerter had like three or four assists per game that season. They lost distributors as well. Mm-hmm. So I think there's more to it than just the amount of threes taken per game.
Yeah, I'm not saying that, like, they have to shoot X amount of threes.
You're James Christie over here.
That's what the NBA is, though. It's a bunch of three-point shots. I mean,
like Brooklyn is a top 10 team. In fact, 8, 9, and 10 is Brooklyn, Washington, and Charlotte in terms of three-point attempts per game.
Where's OKC? Because I thought they were 10.
37.9. I have them at 12.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, like, look, you're going to have to hoist threes. You are. And even, like, getting to the 36 that they shot last year, you know, losing Trey Lyles, you know, at 3.4 attempts per game, that doesn't help you. These are, like, the secondary guys that, you know, again, they need to shoot more. You know, you'd hope that Keegan Murray can shoot better than 34.3% from three, but, you know, we're talking about a guy who averaged 5.9 attempts per game. The Kings need him to be closer to 8 or 9, like, without any question. And so, I don't know how they're going to solve this riddle, but it's certainly, like, again, if we're looking at the way that they're building their roster, your spacing is just going to be really tough to deal with.
James is right. I'm sorry. I'm going to beat this point into the goddamn ground. Sacramento finished 22nd. Detroit finished 23rd. Did Detroit make the playoffs?
Yes.
24th was Orlando. Did they make the playoffs?
Yes.
New Orleans, don't answer. Dallas, don't answer. Toronto, don't answer. The bottom three teams were the Knicks, the Clippers, and Denver at 32.3 point attempts per game. I'm just pointing it out. I'm not even making a point anymore.
I get what's being said, but how much different when you talk about not having guys that shoot threes or anything? How much different is that from the team they already had?
But give me the question one more time.
So the thing is, we don't have here in Sacramento right now. We don't have the guys that shoot the three ball, and that's going to be the problem. How much different is that from Beam Team 2, Beam Team 3? De'Aaron Fox was there. He's not the three-point shooter.
Nobody shot a ton. He shot a ton of them.
He shot around. Beam Team, I got the numbers in front of me. He shot almost 8 a game Beam Team 1 year. Other than that, it's about the same as what Schroeder does. Schroeder shoots 4 or 5 threes a game. Fox is around 5 threes a game for the majority of his career. You look at DeMar DeRozan. He upped it once he came here to Sacramento, stepped his game up in that respect, shot three a game. Harrison Barnes was around, depending on the year, 2 to 5.
If I have this right, Sacramento was second in the league at 39.3 the year they lost to the Pelicans a million times. And the year they made the playoffs, they were 37.5, good enough for sixth.
And I think that
so
year,
obviously a far cry from 22nd.
That year they shot a bunch of them. That's what they did. Like, you look at De'Aaron Fox, that year he shot 7.8 threes a night.
Yeah.
He's never been close to that. He's 4.2, 5.0, 5.4, 5.5. Like,
well, no, it wasn't before that. After that, he's 7.8, and then last year he with the Kings, he shot 6.4. So, I mean, he did shoot a lot more threes.
I mean, now we're getting into math, and I know the Daryl Morey school of thought is that 32 doesn't matter as much if you're taking six. But the point being, there he's not like you could just tell DeRozan to shoot six threes if it's about shooting the threes. If he's not a three-point shooter, not respected as such.
I think DeMar took the most threes he took in his career last
year.
Did.
Did he? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
he stepped his game up. Yeah, 3.1. Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't good. I mean, again, it was diminishing returns. The more he shot, the less he shot, percentage-wise. So it just, you know, again, it's not great. That's the problem, though. Like, this is modern NBA basketball where you need to try to – you have to have something you can hang your hat on. Like, you brought up the Knicks. Well, the Knicks can play defense with the best in the league. You know, they have length and athleticism at every position. So if they're not shooting threes, that's a problem, you know, to keep up with everybody. But if they can hold their own defensively, that's another thing. You know, you can look at some of the other teams that you mentioned at the bottom of the three-point shooting. Like, that's fine. But there's also really, really good teams who shoot a ton of threes. And, you know, I just think that the Kings, if the idea is to shoot threes and the idea is to not cramp your spacing, you know, again, I think in a perfect world, it's Domantas Sabonis and five shooters. And that's not, you're looking at Domantas Sabonis and one shooter in your starting lineup, two shooters in your starting lineup, you know, with LaVine and Keegan. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need a lot out of LaVine. You're going to need a lot out of Keegan, because those are the guys who are going to play major minutes who shoot the three.
And all I was saying is that's cool, but like, LaVine doesn't shoot as many threes as Kevin Huerter. But what are you getting in shot creation? What are you getting in being able to get to the bucket, get to the free throw line, get out in transition? Like, if it's not saying this is what you're saying, James, but if it's just about like having 3-point shooters, then Zach Novak would still be in the league. Because all he did was just shoot threes. Like, you got to be able to do other things as well. And Kevin Huerter, yeah, was on that team. Let's not romanticize Kevin Huerter the 2 years after the Beam Team One team. Like, let's not romanticize that. He was awful. He was not good those next 2 years. He was a three-point shooter. He spread the floor in theory, but it didn't matter because he wasn't knocking down the shots.
No, I'm with you on that. And, you know, again, Kevin Huerter's last year in Sacramento, his last year and a half in Sacramento was not good at all. But even it's the tertiary players, right? This team can't afford to go from the 3.4 or 3.8 three-point attempts that Trey Lyles shot the last 2 years to one from Isaac Jones coming off the bench. And that's if he's the guy coming off the bench. Like, that's another like 2.5 or 2.8 three-point attempts that you're just losing. And you can't lose all those attempts at every single spot, because again, teams will just run a zone. They'll just plug everything up. If we talk about creation, how are you going to get to the basket when there's no running lanes? There's nowhere to go. And that's the problem. Sure, in transition, that's fine. But outside of transition basketball in the half court, if you don't have spacing, they're just going to encircle Domantas Sabonis and say, okay, somebody else beat us, because none of you guys are shooting threes. It doesn't space the floor. So I think it's interesting. I did not expect this offseason to look like this, where not only did they not make a major move, but they didn't make a major move to bring in a player that can actually help you space the floor better, you know, because it's about volume a lot of the time. So I think we're going to have to see how it all works out in the wash. But for right now, this is tough. Like, the Kings don't have 3-and-D players. Mm-hmm. They have some defensive players, but and those guys do shoot threes, but for the most part, that's it. That you've got Keegan, you've got Keon, and then the list starts to wane very quickly.
We'll come back. We'll talk more basketball. We'll talk more Kings basketball. We'll talk a little bit about the schedule release notes that we got here today from James Hamm. With James Hamm, when we return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 13.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, I missed this. A little Dallas Cowboys 1990s team documentary coming to Netflix.
Wasn't there a story? I don't think this is the same thing, but wasn't there a story about Jerry Jones having a Netflix doc?
That's the documentary, I think.
Oh, okay.
I wonder if this is like a puff piece or whatever, but...
So that I think that's what Jesse is referring to is the Jerry Jones joint.
Gotcha. But a lot of it was focused on the 90s. They're talking about, oh yeah, Jerry and Jimmy were fighting for power, blah, blah, blah. So I assume a lot of it focuses on that term.
Like I said, if it doesn't open with Michael Irvin and a pair of scissors, the whole thing is fraudulent.
I know they better make sure they put me in a good light. You know, I was talking to them when they interviewed me, and we were at the private room at Morton's when I did it. And I just told him, I know what happened in the 90s, and I just want to win a Super Bowl so bad, but CeeDee Lamb keeps getting in the way of the referee.
Sorry about that, James. You tweeted earlier today that the Sacramento Kings will open up their season October 22nd in Phoenix, and then they'll open up a couple of nights later at the Golden One Center against the Utah Jazz. Do you, in your mind, do the Kings have a true marquee game this year? One that you're like, I'm excited for this one. Obviously, opening night will bring in excitement, you know, both on the road and at home. But after that, is there one where you're like, okay, I'm circling this one?
Yeah, I think Kings fans should really be excited late December, early January, when Cooper Flagg rolls through, because I think he's going to be a player that everybody kind of globs onto, and he becomes like one of the faces of the league pretty quickly. So those are two games. Marquee games outside of that, there's a San Antonio game in March where De'Aaron Fox rolls back through. Was it you that put out the game where Mike Brown comes through Sacramento?
Yeah.
Outside of that, like, I don't know if we should be looking at marquee games. I don't know where the Kings are going to rank against a team like Golden State, and whether those games are going to be like extremely difficult for the Kings this year or not. I do know that in the first 10 games, it sounds like the Kings play OKC in Sacramento and at OKC. That's not a good thing. Because that team is a buzzsaw, and even early on, I think they're going to be extremely motivated. I think the early schedule, especially November, from what I've heard, is pretty rough. But I haven't seen the entirety of the schedule.
Yeah, we'll be getting that, I believe, on Thursday. Of course, we'll get leaks from now until then. And what's the number one thing you look for when the schedule drops?
My biggest thing is always, where is the longest road trip? It's always in January, but like, where do they go? How difficult is that schedule going to look? What is the final 15 games of the season look like? Because, you know, there's the haymakers that the NBA schedule makers threw in a couple of times, in recent history, where all of a sudden the Kings have a East Coast travel late in the season, which doesn't make any sense at all. That's usually done way earlier than that. It's usually taken care of with the January trip and maybe a short trip in March, but to pile on and have a team, you know, in the last 3 weeks of the schedule, you know, start flying all over the country again, it's just not fair. You know, you should, if it's a playoff team, you should be ramping up for the playoffs and not getting your sea legs taken out by, you know, a bunch of weird flights all over the country. And then the other thing is, you know, how many of those rough, you know, like 6-game stretches that you look at where they might win one? Like, how many of those are there? Because they're, you know, you have your 5-game and 7-night stretches. You've got your schedule where literally just takes you to like every bad team that you don't want to face. You know, I could see something like, even like going to New York and not playing Brooklyn, but playing the Knicks, flying up and playing Boston, who probably isn't going to be all that good this year. But then, you know, hitting Minnesota and then hitting some of these other very difficult teams. And then, oh, by the way, we're going to stop you on the way home in OKC in the middle of your, at the end of a road trip. And so you end up with one of those road trips where they don't have a chance to win hardly at all. And then outside, I think the last thing I look at is like back-to-backs. Like, how many back-to-backs you have? It's usually around 15. But, you know, are they road back-to-backs, home, home, road, home? You know, those actually make a difference as well.
James, have you found, you know, in all the years you've been covering these type of teams, that the organization, when I say organization, I mean, so like the coaching staff and stuff like that, the organization and the players kind of put any type of emphasis on the schedule coming out, or are they kind of, hey, we already know there's going to be flights, there's going to be 6-game road trips, so they're not really as hyper focused on that type of stuff the way maybe we are looking at the schedule?
No, I mean, the players do look at it. I don't know that like schedule day it really becomes an issue, but during the season, you'll have players who are looking around like, what exactly is happening here? Like, I mean, the classic example is Zebo. Like, we came in the locker room and Zach Randolph is there, and you know, he's used to playing in Memphis in the middle of the country. So there aren't 5-hour plane flights, you know, from Memphis. There are some 2.5-3-hour plane flights, but you're bouncing around relatively close to where you're at. And we got a couple of weeks into the schedule and he sat down in the locker after a game and he goes, "What in the world is happening with this schedule?" He's like, "Is this what it's like every year here?" And we're like, "Yeah, this is what it's always like." He's like, "Oh, this is," he's like, "this is horrific. like all of the travel, all of the miles that, you know, you're putting on your body during a season where you're trying to, you know, recover and rest up and try, you know, a guy in his late 30s, you're trying not to have your knee swell up and then hop on a 5-hour flight and you have no idea what your legs are going to look like by the time you land. So, yeah, I mean, certainly the California teams face a little bit more of it than most of the other teams.
Yes, Debo. The Sacramento Kings have a 6-hour flight to New York every year. It's unfair, yeah. I know, but yes.
I think, yeah. And then we got to come home and fly back to Brooklyn. It's crazy. I mean, those. I think they have done a good job of breaking down the East Coast road trips into like two trips where you get like, you know, whether it's, you know, New York, Boston, whatever. And then maybe on the other one, it's Brooklyn, Washington, Charlotte. Like, I think they do a relatively good job.
Catching but, some teams on the way back, like stopping Chicago.
Yeah, and like that's always the tough part is you don't want to stop in Oklahoma City, right? You know, right. Or what's the tough one, James? Utah is they hate the Utah on the second night of a back-to-back. Obviously, Denver on a second night of a back-to-back is always tough. I'm sure they're equally as difficult at the end of a long road trip as well.
Yeah, okay. So Denver, the problem with the second night of back-to-back is that it's at such high elevation. Mm-hmm. Utah as it is at huge elevation as well, but it's just really difficult and it's not an easy plane ride. And so when you, what I don't like is very rarely do you see a road and home back-to-back in Denver where the Kings play in Denver one night and then at home the next night. But for some reason, the league thinks it's okay to do that with Utah. So the Kings will play in Utah and then have to fly home and play again the next night. That's a brutal stretch because it's not easy to get in and out of Utah. And the same thing going from Sacramento to Utah. The easy ones are like the Portlands, you know, Golden States on the back-to-backs playing the Lakers or the Clippers or even Phoenix, you know, because Phoenix is relatively easy to get in and out of. But it's the Utah one that just stands out, Utah and Denver. And again, the Kings always play Denver on the second night of a back-to-back. You never, I don't remember where the Kings played Denver, like where Denver flies to Sacramento on a back-to-back or when they play in Denver and then fly home. That doesn't usually happen.
Are there any specific things that you are looking for, want to see players, you want to see games, maybe road games for the Kings or anybody coming here anxious to see when they come to town?
I don't know. This is kind of a different year, right? I think so many teams are walking into the season just wounded, you know, like how many star level players are out for most of the season or all of it, you know, whether it's Tatum or Halliburton or, you know, Dame Lillard. Like there's just a lot of teams that are already beat up or a lot of like star level players that aren't going to play. I don't know when we'll see Paul George if, you know, again, Embiid will play how many games this season. I don't know that there are a bunch of marquee games that I look for. But again, I do think like watching Mike Brown come back in the door is a cool thing. You know, seeing how fans react to specific players that have left. I don't think we're going to like, there's not a bunch of roster turnover like what we've seen in the past, you know, maybe some lower level players, but like the core group of these guys are still together. So I'm kind of interested to see what that looks like, because it's not like, you know, if Malik Monk gets traded between now and training camp, that all of a sudden becomes a game that we circle and we go, oh boy, what's Malik Monk going to do in his first game back in Sacramento? You know, is he going to try to go for 50? I just, you know, we don't have that because there's not a bunch of players who have left who are the top end of the roster. And you're worried about, like, again, will fans boo Jake LaRavia or will they just like be ambivalent? But I wouldn't doubt they do boo because he's a guy who like looked like he was coming back to Sacramento. And at the last second, the Lakers cleared out some roster space and went out and got him. But if that's like the worst that it's going to be, yeah. You think so? I'm always intrigued. I mean, you know, Josh Giddey rolled through Sacramento and was booed the entire game. It's for different reasons. I get that. But then Miles Bridges rolled through Sacramento and he heard a little bit of boos, but not much. And so you're looking around like, what exactly is happening here? Like, it is very interesting who gets booed and who doesn't when they roll to Sacramento. And so, you're kind of like, I don't know. Like, I know Buddy Hield is going to get booed every time it touches
every
the ball.
Time.
But outside of that, I don't think that there are a lot of other players that the Kings fans are going to boo anymore.
Could you imagine every time Jake LaRue has just confusion on his face? Every time he touches the ball, boo!
That would be
hilarious.
He'll
think he's back in Memphis again.
That would be so hilarious. Kid came here and averaged like 2 points per game.
Yeah, he's just trying to play in the league and he's just getting booed out the building.
He's getting booed mercilessly. I just had the greatest debut in the history of a Sacramento King and just getting destroyed. Absolutely.
Eight points in like 90 seconds. Yeah.
Now he
gets booed every time.
What was Mike's thing again? Was it five game increments or 10 game increments?
I think it was five. Standard. Yeah, because you do kind of want to look at your team at the 20-game mark. You want to look at your team at the 30-game mark. But when it came to, like, giving an idea a chance, he would always say it was, like, maybe a five-game look, if they're going to install somebody in the starting lineup or give someone a rotational look. But he didn't stick to that very often. It was usually like, well, you're going to get five games, or you were so bad in the first quarter, I'm not going to play you in the second quarter, and your five game stretches over like day one. So, I remember Dave Yeager specifically. It was always like five game increments, and you want to go at least 3-2 in every five games and keep a winning record the whole time. And then they would assess and kind of like look and see what's next.
Does Doug have a similar philosophy?
You know, to be honest with you, I don't know. I'm sure he will. I'm sure that it's just a way for them to digest the season in smaller bites and see progress or a lack of progress, try to track things like in the moment. But yeah, we'll have to see if he's going to be one of those, incremental guys, or if it's going to be hyper-focused on one game at a time. We've seen that as well.
Mike told Keon, I'm going to play you after this 82-game increment.
Maybe.
After this 82-game run, then it'll be your turn.
He said, Terrence, let's go. Never mind, Terrence. Sit down.
That is who we would do.
I always forget. Is Terrence on the roster?
Technically he is, isn't he?
Terrence Davis is. Yeah. He's with the Kings, right?
TD.
That's great.
Yeah, he's on a non-guaranteed contract, and it probably has a small amount of money that takes him through training camp. But it's a way where he can be here in Sacramento and working out in the gym and part of your off-season program. And that way, he's covered by insurance and everything else.
So you think it's unlikely he's here?
I don't know what I would say unlikely, but I definitely think he's got an uphill battle. Just because you don't need depth at that position, really, unless he really comes out and plays extremely hard. I mean, it does depend, too. If Doug loves him, then maybe they keep that spot open. But, like, I checked in today, and I can confirm that Doug McDermott and Drew Eubanks' contracts are 100% guaranteed contracts. Even last year, Doug McDermott was on, like, a $750,000 guarantee until January. And that's not what he has this year. Like, from what I know, it's fully guaranteed contract. And again, that part of that is the difference between one general manager to the next. Like, we remember the Ken Catanella special, the 3-year deal, but the third year is always a team option. Then we get to the Monty and Wes era, and they did a lot of non-guaranteed deals coming into camp. They always did. And so, you're always balancing how long someone's going to be there. And now, Scott Perry just probably has a different mindset on that stuff.
Did the Kings owe Drew Eubanks' agent a favor?
Feels like it.
Why would he be here? I don't know. I don't know.
I got a quick question before we get out of here. Russell Westbrook.
Bro, we have like 5 minutes.
Well, this might be a long answer. I don't know. Russell Westbrook.
I just looked up career earnings for Drew Eubanks. Go ahead.
Oh, dude.
Season's over. You lost so bad.
I was about to come up with a guess.
Go ahead.
Oh, I can come up with a guess.
Seven seasons. Peak earnings. Well,
it doesn't matter. $8.5 million.
Peak earnings will be this year.
$8.5 million.
How many seasons?
Seven seasons he's played.
I'm going to say $17 million.
$17 million. You went.
You
went 8.5, Jesse.
I guess I'll go in the middle. 12.
Well, Jesse wins even the exhibition matchup.
Bro, this is, because it's having different rules. What is going on?
$13.2 million.
What the hell's going on here?
He will end this current contract at 16.3, as James just pointed out. It is completely guaranteed. So Jesse wins the current value. James wins the future value, and KC just loses.
Yeah, bro, KC, I'm gonna go ahead and take a break. Go ahead and get your work in winter ball, okay?
Yeah.
Bro, so wait,
this is not the same rules.
His contract for this season, he would make 16 point something.
His career earnings will be 16.3. Yep.
Oh, come on now!
Like a Hammer's trying to change the rules now and stuff.
Hammer, you won the future earnings. That's correct.
The rules weren't even how we go about this.
You lost. Like James is a winner. Jesse's a winner.
Some people are calling me the PWO GOAT.
We are winners. You are not.
Yes.
How are you the GOAT? He got the same amount of championships as me. They treat him like Josh Allen. They treat me like Lamar Jackson.
Some people are calling me the GOAT. That's all I said.
That's it.
Some people.
That's Jesse and I have hair. Kenny doesn't.
Me and Kyle don't have hair. That's what happened. Real quick, I guess maybe we could think about this tomorrow. What if they signed Russell Westbrook and looked at him as more of a wing player? He's 6'4". At this point in his career, I think he does fine against guys that are 6'6". He's physical enough for it. What if he was able to play that role? Obviously, backup point guard. But like I said, at this point in his career, I think he could guard small forwards.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think about that. Is he 6'4"?
Mm-hmm. That's what Basketball Reference has him as.
Yeah, that seems tall. I don't know. I mean, first of all, that would block Nate Clifford from ever playing a game, if that's what your idea was. But, like, I don't know if they want to run, like, a three-guard set the entire game. Maybe that would work. Because, I mean, to be honest with you, that's kind of where they're at right now. You're going to have to run a ton of three-guard sets. And I don't even think, you know, DeMar, you can count as a small forward, but he's a 6'6" small forward. Him and Zach LaVine are both 6'6". You're going to be small as a team. And especially when your center 6'10", your backup center 6'10", and then your power forward 6'8".
Russ rebounds really well, though.
He does. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's one of the greatest.
That's what I'm saying. He's physical
rebounding
enough,
guards ever.
Yeah, maybe he's physical enough maybe to get by on that off your bench.
Yeah, I get that. I just think it's like this is a really, really weird roster build, even right now as we sit. And if you swap out Monk for Westbrook, again, I think you're going to have a bunch of issues there as far as just, you know, purely three-point shooting and spacing on the floor. It's going to be interesting to see how, because you're going to have an offense to somehow work through this stuff. Mm-hmm. And that means you got to craft a really, really complicated offense that doesn't match what we're seeing in modern NBA basketball.
Well, Doug's got a tall task ahead, no matter what. Mm-hmm. Like we've talked about that several times. Like Doug is going to have some things to figure out, whether this team is shooting 40 or 50 threes per game, or whether they're, you know, playing three guard lineups, or you know, if they make a trade and Jonathan Kuminga winds up on this team, or they enter the season with this roster. Doug has got a lot that he has to figure out when this season gets underway, and we got a couple of notes about that. The season will begin officially on October 22nd in Phoenix. The Golden One Center portion will open October 24th against Utah. Obviously, we're quite a ways away from that, so we'll have plenty more to cover here as the day progresses. We thank you so much for being with us. Make sure you're back here tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with the Insiders on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Drew Eubanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.